time to move. Not you, Bill. It's time to move. Bill likes moving. He's the only nerd I know that likes moving and packing up. I hate it. Oh, I hate to move. We'll talk about it's time to move. And, of course, we're talking spiritually. And as I was over here this week, and God began to deal with me on this message about it being time to move. And I posted a Facebook post you might have seen Friday kind of related to this about, are you tired of where you're at? Are you tired of being stuck? Are you tired of same old, same old? Then it's time to move. It's time to move out of where you're at to where God wants you to be. God has already moved. I'll make that very clear. God has moved. God has already moved. If you go throughout the Bible, you see where God called Abraham and said, Abraham, he said, I want you to move. And Abraham did. God already prepared a way for Abraham, already prepared a future for him, but Abraham still had to move into what God had for him. And so I want you not to feel trapped today where you're at. Maybe you're needing more in your life. You need more than what you are right now. You need more in your life than where you've been. You need more peace. You need more joy. You need more strength. You need more hope. You need more power in your life. You need more victory. You need a new perspective, a new vision, whatever that is you need. We're going to talk about that it's time to move. Because we are in a place, as we know, in a culture, in a society that will drain you down if you're not careful. It will pull you under and run you over the bus. We have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We have to keep our hope in him. We have to keep ourselves looking toward the heavens. David said, where does my help come from? It cometh from the Lord. That's where my help comes from. It doesn't come from anybody else. And so we're going to talk about that it's time to move and how important it is that if we're not happy where we're at, that it's up to us to say, God, I'm going to go to what you called me to do. Now, that means sometimes making some sacrifices. That means cutting some ties. You know, I tell folks all the time, of course, where Melanie works, she tells folks all the time, say, look, you know, Melanie works at a drug addiction treatment center. She's like, look, don't make no friends here, okay? You're not here to make friends. You're here to get recovery. You're here to become whole. You're here to get your life back together. And we can't, sometimes it means we cut strong ties that we think are very important in our lives, but if it means that it calls us to move where God wants to be, isn't it worth it all to cut those ties? Because God, I'm where you want me to be now. And so I'm going to cut those ties. No matter how hard they may be, I'm going to cut them to be where you want me to be. So we're going to start in a story in John. I love the story in John chapter 5. And this is talking about the Pool of Bethesda. And this is a story of where this man had been stuck there for a long time, 38 years actually, could not get healed, and Jesus passed his way. I'm so thankful when Jesus passes our way. John chapter 5 and verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And just as a note, some archaeologists did some research, and they found where this porch is. They found evidence of this porch existing. They found columns, and they found stone in the area of where this is at. I thought that was interesting. I did some research on that to where they dug that up. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, let's think about this. How many times are we waiting on the moving of the water when the water's done moved and we don't jump in? We sit there and we're like, okay, do I do it now? Do I jump now? Do I move now? Do I change now? Do I step in now? What am I waiting on? The water is moving, but we're just watching it go right by. Instead of saying, God, I want to move into what you want me to move. I woke up this morning with Jesus on my mind. I woke up this morning and this came to my mind about moving. How that God wants us to move into an experience with him. See, I think part of the problem with our lives is we know of God. But do we know God? We know of the protocol. I go to church and I'll go through the worship part and I hear the message and I give my offering and I shake their hands and I smile at the preacher and I go eat lunch. But have we had an experience with God? Because an experience with God changes everything. You can't go off the God of your mama and daddy. You can't go off the God your preacher tells you about. You've got to find God yourself and have that experience yourself. Then nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can ever, ever rob you of that experience once you have it in Christ. And so I was thinking as I woke up this morning about that. God, you're wanting us to move into an experience with you. And it's harder and harder with so many people. I said this last week. We're seeing so many movements come about that don't want to make people uncomfortable for it. I don't want to feel like a church. Or I want to be so culturally saturated that people feel comfortable. Well, a church should be a church. I said this last week, right? You don't go into Outback and order chopped barbecue. you go to little pigs for that, right? You don't go to Outback. We come to church. It should feel like church. We should be talking about who? Jesus. And the cross, and the blood, and the resurrection, and the power, and the future, and our hope, and the redeemed, and the saints of God. We should be talking about those things. We should be moving into having an experience with God. That's why Wednesday night I kicked off a series called Real Spiritual Fruit. We're going through each week different fruits of the Spirit that we should be experiencing. Not talking about, we should be experiencing. I was telling somebody yesterday, I was over at a church with 3 hours with somebody yesterday, 3 hours. Thought it'd be a quick meeting, last 3 hours. And I'm over here, and we were talking, and I said, you know, there's got to be evidence in our lives of real fruit being shown. There should be evidence. It's easy to say I love someone, but I would rather see someone that loves me than them tell me they love me. Show me you love me, right? Don't just tell me. Show me. There's a big difference in that. There's a big difference in saying love you, love you, love you, and then really loving them. Because loving someone means you give yourself to them. It means you sacrifice something to them. It means you give up part of you to give to them. That's what love is. And that's what Jesus did. He said he first loved us. He loved us first. Remember, we didn't go seeking out. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what anybody says, we don't go seeking out God unless God first begins to speak to us to start seeking him. Because our flesh isn't like that. Man, our flesh is lazy. Our flesh is sinful. Our flesh wants to do whatever makes it feel good. We would just soon go home, watch football for 3 hours, and not sit on that couch and not get up and not do nothing. It's hard to eat healthy. It's hard to exercise. It's hard to be morally right. It's hard to do things the Bible way. Right? Because we're flesh. And we're always under that attack of temptation pulling us out. We're under that attack. And so we need an experience with God that takes us beyond just knowing about God to experiencing God, to feel his holy presence, to feel his Spirit inside of us, to feel his power and anointing rise up in us, to know who we're talking to, not just who we're talking about, but to be on a first name basis. Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, I call upon thee. Jesus, I lift my hands before thee. Jesus, pour yourself upon me at this altar that I may know who you are and what you're all about, that you will change me, transform me, that I will be different than I was before. I don't want to leave the altar the same way I came. God, I want to be transformed by your power and by your mercy. That's an experience with God. And it's time for us to move into that. It's time for God's people to move into experiencing. When Jesus went and called his disciples, remember he went by and says, hey, Peter, follow me. John, follow me. You know, Bartholomew, follow me. And they left their livelihood. They left what they always did. They left what they always knew. They left what they were comfortable with. They left the normal part of life. They left what they always had done to follow a man they had no clue what would happen. They wanted to experience what Jesus was about to do. And they were there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. They were there when the lepers were healed and the crippled walked. They were there when Peter walked on the water. Man, can you imagine being on Lake Norman, Joe, me and Bill and Gail and Joe? We're all on the Lake Norman, and all of a sudden I get out and start walking on top of the water. You'd be checking your Mountain Dew can, wouldn't you? His Mountain Dew sharing came in. There's James walking on the water. Man, they saw Peter walking on the water. Peter was experiencing God, not just knowing about God. He was experiencing all that God was, that he could do anything. He could do the impossible. He could cause the lion's mouth to shut and the Red Sea to part and the giant to fall and the disciple to walk on top of the water. That was God that did that. And man, Peter, I guarantee, was never the same after that moment. Even though I know preachers want to talk about the negative part. Well, he sank. Well, have you ever walked on water? I mean, come on. Y'all can't float on your back, some of you. That's the easiest thing in the world. Anybody be a float on their back? That's easy. Just lay down. So, I don't look at Peter as a negative part. I look at it as he had enough faith with his eyes on Jesus to step out while the water was moving. Sometimes the water is moving, but we're too afraid to get in because I can't swim, Pastor. You don't have to worry about swimming. If God is stirring your water, he will take care of you, and you will swim, and you will survive, and you will keep your head above water, and you will be taken to the place God's destined you to be at. But sometimes we got to be the one that moves. Yes, I believe in waiting on God. I believe in waiting on his direction. But there's sometimes we're waiting on God when God's already moved, and we're just not obeying what he's telling us to do. Here is the man who'd been laying here. Let's get to this. This is a place where the sick people, the poor people, they hung out at this porch. Verse 4, for the angel went down at a certain season to the pool, troubled the water, that whosoever was first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. I use this as an example. This is a very good example you can all relate to. Don't nobody shout me down. This is the reality of it. We all love money. Don't say you don't because you're lying if you do. We all love money, okay? We got to have money. I don't care what anybody says. I know Melanie told me years ago, honey, I'd be happy with you just living in a cardboard box with nothing. And I asked her that a few years ago, and she says, well, I'm not so sure now. It's amazing how we change, isn't it? You said what?
We need a bigger box.
Oh, okay, a bigger box, okay. But we love money. So if I was up here this morning, and I said, I've got a ticket, and on the back of this ticket is $1,000 in cash, and the first one up here will get that $1,000 cash. And I was, and y'all knew I meant that. It was serious. I was up here. The first one at this altar gets $1,000 cash. Who'd be the first one up here, do you think? Here we have God who is offering all of this stuff to us, but we sit back. I'm not going to go up there. I'm not going to step out in faith. I'm not going to get it. I'll wait till next time. I'll wait till when I'm ready. I'll wait till, I don't know, man. I don't know if it's the right time. And we're missing out on what God is wanting us to do. Day by day, we're missing out on the beauty of what God has prepared for us. If we would rush to the altar for needs spiritually, as we would if there was a giveaway financially, or if there was a, you know, whatever it was, if there was a, you know, your famous celebrity who you love, you know. I mean, whose celebrity you would love to see in person? Who would you love to hug their neck and get their autograph? Anybody in life? Not really. Okay, somebody play fun here. Somebody give me a celebrity you would like to meet. Mom, who'd you like to meet? Yes. John Lennon. Okay. The Beatles. John Lennon. So if John Lennon was standing up here this morning, reincarnated, and he's up here, and he said, if you're a Beatles fan, he said, the first one up here gets to go out to dinner with me. Look, Mom is sinning. She is going to hell. She is sinning. Look at her back. They're all lusting. She'd be like, man, I'm going up there because it's John Lennon. Ain't nobody getting in my way. We better get my way. We'd be breaking necks to get to him. And we all got that person. Minnie's being kind. But we all got someone, I bet, that would move us a certain way. Somebody. We all got someone that we'd be like, man, be so cool to meet them. It's amazing what we would do for other things. But when God moves the water spiritually, why don't we step in? God, why don't I want you like I want that? Why don't I want you like I want the money, like I want the possession, like I want the relationship? God, why don't I want you like that? So here's all these sick people. They're by the porch. They're waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 5, a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years this man had not been able to walk. He had been there hoping to be healed. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew he had been there a long time in that case. And he says to him, wilt thou be made whole? I love when Jesus says this, will you be made whole? He's asking us, do you want what I'm offering? Do you want it? It's that simple. Do you really want what I have to give to you? Because if you want it, guess what? You can have it.
That's right.
But do you want it? There's so many times we say, yeah, Lord, I want my life to change, but I'm just not quite ready. God, I want my life to change. I know I need you, but this is kind of in my way. As the water is moving in your life, as God is speaking, that is the time that you step in and say, yes, Lord, I want it now. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of being in that case, as we just read. I'm tired of being in this cycle of defeat. I'm tired of being in this situation. I'm tired of being where I'm at. I'm tired of the dark days, day after day after day after day. I'm tired of no joy, no peace. I'm tired of no hope. I'm tired. God, I'm tired. I'm tired of being tired. I'm just tired. And God, I need help and I need refuge. I need release. I need healing in my life. I need it, God. And he is saying, Wilt, do you want it? And we say, yes, Lord. We try to get our answer through means of ourselves instead of allowing God to do it for us. We try to get answers by things that we can accomplish instead of letting God accomplish it for us. Really, all we need to do is have faith. We talked about peace Wednesday night. And, you know, Melanie's answer, definition of peace was that, you know, it's being assured, whether I see it or not, that God will do it. That's what gives me peace. To know if, no matter what, I know God's going to do it. And so I trust that. I have peace about that. Man, peace is a powerful thing. But many people aren't experiencing peace right now. Just heard a very sad story of someone. You saw the 27-year-old girl in the paper. And it was tragic. What happened to this young lady? 27 years old, and she took her life. It came to me this morning through someone that knew the situation that her last comment was, nobody loves me. I'm going to kill myself. 27-year-old left a husband behind and a child behind. No peace. Because we're looking for peace here. And I don't care how much money we got, how good life is going. There is no true peace here. There is no true happiness here. I read one time where happiness is tied to happenings. And that's why we get unhappy, because our happiness is tied to happenings. What's happening to us? Joy doesn't attach to what's happening. Joy is attached to what's already happened. And that is Jesus, my King forever. So I can have joy and I can have peace, because all of this world will one day give way to a glorious future, a glorious day, right? A glorious day that we're going to experience. There is no peace. There is no joy. And Jesus saying, I'm moving the waters. If you want peace and you want joy, you've got to step into where I'm at. You're not going to get it out there. Some of you are there now. Some of you have been there and come out of it, and you know true joy is not found in the places many of you have looked for it at. It may bring pleasure for a moment, but you're still the same damaged vessel afterwards. Empty, searching, and void. And God, I want more. I want more. You know, we were at the mall last night, me and Melanie Steven, for a little bit, and as you look around, people, you know, if you do people watching much at the mall, you find some interesting things, don't you? And I'm not trying to discredit or bring, I'm not trying to be ugly, I'm really not, but man, for guys and girls, but I just cannot believe how our young women are dressing now. I mean, young girls have no respect for themselves by showing all their stuff to the whole world. Man, what happened to a guy having to use the imagination? What happened to a woman preserving herself to a point not to give it all away at the gawking of the public? And I see these young people just, I mean, I don't see how they make clothes that small. They can't, I mean, I've seen shorts. I'm like, it looks like a washcloth. That's a pair of shorts? Are you serious? My Lord. Because young girls are in the impression that's what everybody wants. And that's what makes them valuable. No, it's not. Yes, I did marry Melanie for her smoking hot body. That's one reason. But more importantly, I married Melanie because of who she was. See, back in my day, Destiny, we had what we called home phones. Do you still have a home phone? It don't work, right? We had a home phone. And when I was dating Melanie, we didn't have cell phones. I would call Melanie at night on the phone, and we would talk for hours. Talk for hours on the telephone. You hang up. No, you hang up. No, you're not playing. We would talk for hours. And just talk and talk and talk. And I fell in love with her. Because I saw her more than just this. I saw her as the whole package. And so we're in a culture that is trying to find that pleasure and peace other places instead of having experience with God, that they realize their values in Christ and what Christ has made them to be and created them for. And guys, too. I'm telling you, man, email talking about, she made a comment the day, said, do teenagers not care anymore how they look? I mean, when I used to date at 16, I fixed up. Don, I combed my hair. I put my Dracar on. You know, shaved. Make sure I have my preppy little clothes on, my little sandals. My legs were shaved. I'm playing. I made sure that I dressed up. I wanted to look good for my date. And now I'm like, good Lord, did you just crawl out of bed? And you're at the mall on a Friday night looking like you just literally crawled out of bed. You're in your pajama pants in the mall. Your fuzzy Miss Kitty jeans, fuzzy pajamas. And so help me, at the gas station one day, I got out right here to Sitka. A grown man got out of the car in a bathrobe and slippers pumping his gas. I was like, oh, my gosh. Whew. Jesus, help us. Bless it. I mean, I know some of you won't go out in public without your makeup. Oh, I can't go. Oh, I got my makeup. I can't go out. He didn't care. Bathrobe and slippers, pumping his gas. Oh. No, he didn't. No, he was a man. He was all man. So he asked the man, do you want to be made whole? Verse 7. The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man that when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, because why cometh Diane Lewis steppeth over me to come get what she wants to get. That's what he's saying. Lord, every time the water, I can't move. Somebody that can move, they beat me to the water, they get in, and here I have to wait again because I don't get my healing. And look what Jesus said to him. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. I'm stirring the water for you. And you don't have to do it first as far as you doing something. Just trust me and rise up. That's what God is telling us. Rise up where you're at. Don't wait on the answer to get there. Step out into what God's going to show you the answer is. Step out into it by faith. We walk by faith, the Bible says, not by sight. And faith means that we have to trust God whether we want to or not. Whether we believe it or not, whether we see it or not. God, 38 years the man had waited. 38 years, that's a long time. 38 years he'd been waiting for his healing. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes by and says, rise up and walk. And let's see if he walks. Next verse. Immediately, the man was made whole. See, I still believe in that. I still believe there could be an immediate transformation, an immediate healing, an immediate deliverance, because when the waters are troubled, the Spirit of God is moving. And when the Spirit of God is moving, you can't step in and then step out the way that you were. For the Spirit of God will change the infirmity you stepped in with. It will change the sickness you had, and it will set you free, and it will deliver you. That's what the Spirit of God does. It's alive. It is breathing. It is well. I don't care what churches don't teach. I'm telling you, the power of God is still alive. It is still well. He is still here. He is still real. He is still king, and the water is still troubled. And as we step in, we can get what God has for us if we will trust Him. Because I believe still in a miracle God. I believe God can change our circumstances suddenly and instantly and right now. This man rose up and walked after 38 years waiting on man to help him, but all he needed was Jesus to help him. And when Jesus passed his way, the man says, yes, I'm ready. Yes, Lord. I can't get there. I want to get there, but I can't get there. I've got this. Let me get you there. I've got it. It's time for us to move into what God has us. We're not supposed to be stuck in the same place on and on and on. There's so much more God is wanting to do in our lives if we will trust Him and step out and let Him do it. More faith, more joy, more power, more understanding, more revelation. More experience with God, a deeper intimacy with God, a deeper relationship with God, beyond just going through the church motions. But man, God, I want to know you. God, I want to sit down with you. As a song we sing, I want to sit at your feet. God, the more I seek you, Lord, the more I know you. The more I know you, God, the more I love you. Because I see who you are, and I see what you are. And I see what you're able to do, and I see what you've already done. Because I'm seeing you with a different set of eyes, because God, you're taking the scales off, and I'm seeing you beyond religion, I'm seeing you beyond church, I'm seeing you beyond denominationalism, but I'm seeing you, Jesus, as you are, the King of Kings. Whenever Peter came out of that upper room, he preached that first gospel, I'll call it the first gospel message in Acts chapter 2, and he came out and thought he was drunk because he was, there was some crazy stuff going on up in the upper room, man. They were different languages happening up there, and they were praying. He come out all bold and all, tearing up the carpet. And man, he's drunk. I'm not drunk. This is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that my spirit will come upon all flesh, and they shall prophesy. And he began to talk about Jesus and what Jesus had done, and said, this Jesus that you have crucified is now Lord and Savior. Their hearts were pricked. Church, we need our hearts pricked again. We need our hearts pricked. We've lost our sensitivity because we're washing it away with the things of the world. We're drowning out the things with the world, and we're hearing all of that noise, and we're not as sensitive as we used to be because the culture has shifted and changed. What used to be a sin 50 years ago is no longer called sin. It's called progress. It's called change. It's called evolving. It's called acceptance. And we've lost the sensitivity. The first thing we should be thinking, Lord, am I pleasing you? God, am I pleasing you? And we've kind of lost that. It's more about not getting caught now. It's about hoping I don't get caught versus, God, am I not pleasing you? See, when David got caught in adultery and the prophet Nathan came to him and knocked on his door, it took a lot of courage because he's coming to the king, right? King David, you sinned, brother. You sinned. What did David do? He didn't try to get out of it. He didn't say, oh, man, I got caught. He repented. He acknowledged his sin. He said, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. And he fasted, and he sought God, and he admitted it. And God restored him. Because he repented. He was sensitive to his sin. Look, there's nothing wrong with being honest, church, with God. I'm not saying you go confess the world. You don't have to go confess to everybody. You don't, after church, go shake hands. Hey, Bruce, I got drunk last night. I just want to confess that. Hey, Stacy, I slept with somebody last night. I just want to confess that. Hey, Ivy, I hit my wife last night. I just want to confess that. You don't mean we go around doing those things, but it does mean we go to God and say, God, I'm wrong, and I confess that. And I need you to restore me and give me peace and joy. God, I want the relationship to be right. I don't like the separation I feel. I don't like this lack of closeness. I don't like this distance. God, I know you're moving the waters, but I'm too scared to get in because what if I can't swim no more? God, what if I drown this time? You're not going to drown when the Spirit's moving. The Spirit's moving on your behalf and for you. Because of you, it's moving to get you to where he wants you to be. Go to the next verse, Brandon. This is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ. Not through me, but through an experience of Christ. I can experience him for myself. I can feel his presence for myself. I can feel him coming to my life for myself. I can feel. See, we should have a relationship with God in our home. I talk to him in my car. I talk to him in the shower. I talk to him in my bed. I can lay there and talk to him. And I feel his presence fill the room where I'm at. It fills the room. And I can hear his voice speak to me. And I can feel his presence all around me. I can feel his glory come upon me. That's experiencing God. When the water is moving, we step in and we trust it. Yes, Lord. I trust it. I'm going to step into what you've called me to step into. I'm not sure what. I think about the Naaman had the leprosy. Naaman was a big time soldier. Remember, he had leprosy. And the prophet sent a messenger out the door and told this great soldier, go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. You'll be made whole. He didn't like that answer. See, we want some glory kind. We want God to move in a tactful way. We want God to move in a way that's not embarrassing. Because, Lord, if I just let go, I mean, I might swing my chandelier. Who knows what you might do to me? I might run across them chairs. I might fall on the floor. I might shout hallelujah. I might say amen real loud. I might raise my hands like this. I might stomp my foot. And I might dance. And, Lord, I don't want to dance because, man, that's embarrassing if I dance. And so we hold back. God, if you just move at the altar in a way that nobody knows what's going on, me and you, and you really change my heart, but I kind of leave and nobody knows what happened. Man, sometimes we just got to say, you know what, God? Get me sloppy drunk. Y'all know what that means. Act like you don't know what it means. Get me sloppy drunk. I give myself to you, God. And whatever you have planned to restore me and to pour into me what you want, God, I'm a vessel that's willing. Because I want to experience. Man, King David danced. Remember the Bible says he danced out of his clothes. We don't encourage out here. Make sure if you dance, make sure your clothes are on really tight, okay? But the Bible talks about David dancing, remember? And he got ridiculed for that. Look at him out in the street. Look at who he is. He's out dancing. He shouldn't be doing that in his position. I mean, can you imagine President Trump up in the Capitol Hill start dancing? I am the president. Woo, I can't do nothing about it. Can you imagine that? I mean, here is David dancing, unashamed. Here's Zacchaeus climbing a tree to see Jesus. He publicly did that. He wasn't trying to sneak around the back corner. He climbed a tree. That's pretty obvious. Hey, y'all. I mean, he's in a tree. And they see him because he wanted to see Jesus. He stepped out into moving waters to find more and wasn't ashamed. I think the biggest thing that holds us back as Christians or as churchgoers is we're embarrassed to let go and let God. Because I've never done that before. You know what? I've never been married 26 years till this year. I've never had a Nissan car till now. I've never lived in a farmhouse till 2 years ago. I've never been a pastor till 16 years ago. There's a lot of things that we've never done that we end up doing. When it comes spiritually, trust God and say, Lord, I want you to move upon me that I will become what you want me to be and put me where you want me at. You know what a moving river does? If you get caught in a moving river, it takes you with it, don't it? You get caught in a moving river flowing. You get caught I cannot think of the word. Current. I was going to say drift, draft. Yeah, current. You get caught in that current. And you are a slave to where that current takes you unless you can grab a hold of something. We're scared to get in the current of Jesus because it might take us somewhere we're not very sure of. And we don't know where that current ends at. That's okay. It ends good if you're with God, I promise. It ends good. Step into the waters. Let God move. And say, Lord, I'm ready for more. I want you to take me from what I've been to what you want me to be. I want you to take me from where I'm at to where you want me to be at. God, I want you to take me spiritually from all I've ever known and show me something maybe that I don't know. Because I'm ready to hear from you, God. Because I need a fresh voice and a fresh word in this generation. I'm not saying we can't get stuff from the old days, but I'm telling you there's a fresh word for today that we need to hear God speaking to us. Because we are living in today. We're not living 50 years ago. We're living right now. And we need to hear what God is saying right now. So God, my ear is open. My eyes are open. My hands are willing. My feet are willing. My mouth is willing to do and become whatever you want me to become, whatever you want me to do. God, I pray you give me the courage to step into that moving water and trust you to take me where you want me to go. That's what I trust. Marty, come on up here and play a little something. I want to offer this this morning. I want to offer this this morning. You want to move, but you don't know how. Or you want to move, but you're afraid to let go. You want to move to a different place, but you're so trapped and you see no way of doing that. You don't think you have the means to do that. You don't think you have the ability. You don't think you, whatever the issue is. But you want to move into what God has planned for you. See, this is all part of what next Sunday night is going to be about. As we pray and worship and letting God take all of us to where he wants us to be. I don't want to just play church. Do y'all just want to play church? Man, I want an experience of God. I don't want to just go through the motions of saying we're at church. Man, we come into his presence. The sick ought to be healed. The lost ought to be saved. The weak ought to be strengthened. The oppressed ought to be encouraged. We should leave with our chains off every single time we come, because if we are coming to experience God, that's what we will get, an experience with God. Why don't you stand on your feet with me? I want to pray, and I want you to I want to open the altar up this morning. And if you want to move into what God has waiting on you, you need the courage, the faith. You need whatever it is you need for God to move. You're ready to move. You're tired of where you're at, and you're ready to move into where God wants you. I want you to come to the altar as Marjorie sings, and I want you to stay here because I'm going to declare a prayer all at the altar this morning for this. So if you would come up and just stay, I want to pray over everyone up here for your life this morning. If God is speaking to you to move, step up here. We're going to pray together just a minute. Thank you. Anybody else go come up, because we're going to pray in just a minute. So if you go come up, come now and join us. Jesus.
It's been so long.
Step in.
It's been so long since I have broke within. Take me back once more to Calvary. And one more time, your message moves me.
Let's pray for the one the altar. I want to pray right now. God, for every one of us at this altar, with our hands lifted before you, Lord, as we surrender to your presence. God, as we step into this pool this morning, as we step into this pool, as you trouble the waters, we are believing for healing. We are believing for deliverance. We are believing for a breakthrough. We are believing that we are not going to stay in this place any longer. But we are stepping in order to step out of the place we're at. As these waters cover us, Jesus, as your Spirit fills this place, we surrender all that we are. Move us to where you want us to be, God. Place us where you want us to be. Do in us what you want to do in us, as we are vessels that are surrendering to your mercy and your power. You are King, Lord, and I pray your Spirit and your anointing and your power flood this altar, that it's a Savior unto you, Lord. A glorious, beautiful perfume that sends itself back to the throne to say, God, here we are standing in these waters and trusting you that we are not going to stay where we are at today, but you are going to place us where you want us. In the name of Jesus, we declare this, Lord, and we surrender to it, and we trust you, and we believe it, as you're passing our way right now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all can hug each other before you sit down and love each other, encourage each other. They're up here at the altar. We all are going through things. We all need Jesus. That is for sure.
At your feet.
We are thankful, God, and we bid your feet today, Lord, bow in your presence, knowing, God, that you have changed our lives today, that we will walk out of here in a different way, a different state than we came in, because we have been in the presence of our King. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for moving the waters in our lives today. We give you thanks for being our Lord and Savior always, in Jesus' name.